Well, thanks everybody for coming up for this children's message. Today is called Transfiguration Sunday. Can you say the word transfiguration with me? Transfiguration. I know that's a big word. And let's have the congregation help us. Transfiguration. What does this mean? Well, to help you understand that, I'd like you to think about what pictures of Jesus help you remember what Jesus looks like. You know, there was no cell phones back when Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago. There was no guy named Mr. Kodak, and you don't know who that is, but your grandma and grandpa might know. We don't have pictures, but we do have many paintings and artwork. What is your favorite picture of Jesus? Well, this morning I brought some pictures of Jesus. Jesus would have looked like any Jewish Middle Eastern man. The Bible actually prophesied that the Messiah would just look like everybody else. There was nothing special that would mark Jesus as necessarily a pretty person that would really stand out. He would just look normal. But he came to save normal people like you and me. But these are some of the pictures we have of Jesus. And do you recognize this picture of Jesus? What's this picture of Jesus? When he was born as a baby, Jesus is human, just like you and me. He was born as a baby into this world. Well, and that's one of my favorite pictures of Jesus as a little baby. But this is also another picture of Jesus. Do you recognize this one? What's this a picture of Jesus? He's dying on the cross. Why? Why did Jesus die on the cross? To save us. And that's why all these people came today, not just to see you sing, but to thank Jesus for saving us from our sins. But we have one more picture of Jesus that I'd like to show you today, okay? So this is a final picture of Jesus. What's this? This is Jesus as the Holy God? Yeah, sure. What do you think, Gus? When he was transfigured, what do you notice about Jesus? What color? What color is he, Ida? He's white. Yeah, Jesus is showing himself to be more than just a Middle Eastern man. He is God himself. His clothes, thank you so much, his clothes changed and became white. That's why the pastors wear this white, to remind us of Jesus and his holiness. His whole face gleamed. In fact, it was so bright, the disciples couldn't even look at him. It was so bright. And they were so scared because they knew that Jesus was holy and they weren't. But we don't need to be scared of Jesus, do we? You're not scared. Because you know, because he came to save us, because he died on the cross, he loves you. And he wants you to remember, because he was transfigured, because everything changed, he is the strong Son of God who can help you in anything, and he's always present. And I pray that you can remember who Jesus is so you can see Jesus everywhere. Let's pray right now. Dear Jesus, thank you for showing yourself to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for your transfiguration, but especially thank you for dying on the cross and rising again so that we'd have forgiveness in heaven. Bless each child who's up here and make us a blessing to others so that we can see Jesus everywhere. Amen. 2,000 years ago on that Mount of Transfiguration, a voice of God was heard. That voice was the greatest Super Bowl commercial endorsement of all time. If you think you're going to see a good Super Bowl commercial, that's nothing compared to the one that we heard from Preston today in the gospel lesson when God said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." And so we do, as we listen to all of Scripture, because then we know that God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to us through Jesus. God's word is for the basis of this transfiguration sermon is recorded for us in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, reading from chapter 3 and 4. These words, how we can see Jesus everywhere. We stare at his glory without fear. We also view other people through his eyes. Listen to why I say that in these words. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read, and it has not been removed, because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Dear friends of Christ, for this Transfiguration sermon, I'm going to need your help. I need you to pull out the bulletin that was handed to you today, and I need you to take out this bulletin insert right now. It's called St. Paul's Transfiguration. Do you see me? Now, I have a feeling that some of you are way ahead of us, and you've already followed the instructions. But for everybody else who hasn't yet, what I'd like you to do is, at this image, right now, stare at the four dots in the middle of this picture for 30 seconds, and then look up at the light. You can see Jesus. Do that right now for 30 seconds. It only works if you stare at those four dots. Okay, that's about 30 seconds. If you do this correctly, you should see a face of Jesus floating right in front of you. Last night, I had a man walk up to me and he said, "Pastor, I couldn't see you for the rest of your sermon. I just saw Jesus." And I also said, "It worked." When you look up here, I pray you don't see Alehoffen, Scharf, or Smith. I pray that you see Jesus, because it's His word that we're talking about, not ours. Now, this isn't a special vision from God, and don't worry so much if it didn't work this time. Rather, this is an optical illusion, if you can see Jesus after staring at those four dots and looking up. And here's the science behind it. When light bounces off the white part of the picture, it produces a chemical reaction in the retinal cells in the back part of your eye, and it sends a message to your brain. But if you stare for, say, 30 seconds, those cells become desensitized. In other words, your brain gets tired out. That's why you're seeing it. But I wonder if something similar doesn't often happen to our Christian faith. We come to this sanctuary week after week. We hear God's promises over and over again in God's Bible truths. Is it possible that any of us ever get tired of looking at Jesus? By the way, this is exactly how Satan wants you to feel. He wants you to get tired of Jesus, so you take your eyes off the one who is the most important in history and His mission. Yes, we hear week after week how Jesus is so important. We hear how the gospel message can and does change hearts. But then we go back to our regularly scheduled lives. We turn on your favorite streaming service of the evening news. And what do you see? You see political pundits, polls, especially during this election year, who try to tell you, look for the next Messiah. Spoiler alert, he's already come 2,000 years ago. But as we see the world literally going to hell in a handbasket, we might become frustrated and righteously exclaim, we're tired of it. We just wish the Almighty God would return in judgment with all his holy angels. I've honestly felt that way before too. But just think about what that would mean. If God would return right now and end the world, oh sure, you and I as believers, we'd be taken to heaven, that'd be great. But what about those souls who don't know Jesus? Souls who I love and you love, but they don't love him. What would happen to them? They're lost forever. But isn't it interesting? God isn't the end of the world right now. In his love, God still lets our globe still spin. Why? Because he wants these precious people to be reached with his love. I pray that you never get tired of seeing Jesus. St. Paul tells us in his second letter to the Corinthians that the more we stare at Jesus, the more we look at his cross and remember what it means for us, the more fired up we're going to get and more grateful what Jesus has already accomplished for you and me in saving us from our sins. The more we stare at Jesus, oh, the more that will fire us up to be part of that mission. On this final weekend of Epiphany, known as Transfiguration, we're going to take a closer look at Christ. And when we do, we're going to be able to see Jesus everywhere. On the basis of 2 Corinthians, we're going to learn that we can stare at his glory without fear. And secondly, when we see Jesus everywhere, we can view others through his eyes. Now, I need to give you a heads up. If you keep staring at this image for, say, 5 or 10 minutes, you might get a headache. Don't do that. But that's because our eyes are gifts from God. Careful, take care of them and thank God for them. But I'm sure even grade school students know that be careful and take care of your eyes, protect them. I mean, if you stare at the sun too long, yes, your eyes will become damaged. Well, that's scientific truth about the sun. Just think about being in the presence of a holy God. God's glory is more blinding than looking at 10,000 suns. And in our gospel lesson for today, we heard about the original transfiguration, how just for a few moments, Jesus gave a glimpse of his true glory. Jesus showed his disciples, Peter, James, and John, who he was. Jesus' face became blinding. His clothes became dazzling white. Why? Because Jesus wanted people, he wanted to reveal to them, he's not just some prophet. He's not just some nice example that you and I should follow. He is the Son of God. And they were terrified. They were terrified because they knew Jesus was holy, and they weren't. So why did Jesus reveal himself to this in this way? I already said it at the beginning of the service. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to see a very different picture of Jesus. We're going to see Jesus mocked, mistreated, tortured, and killed on a cross. And the disciples were going to be those first witnesses. Their whole world was turned upside down. So why did Jesus give them this glimpse of his glory? He wanted them to know that he was still in charge, that he still had all power of heaven, as he revealed himself one more time. But now for you and me, in the safety of this sanctuary, in the safety of living 2,000 years later, we're not afraid to stare at Jesus' glory, are we? Well, in the Old Testament people were always terrified of God's glory, and for good reason. Because almost every time God revealed his true glory, some wicked person was really going to get it. In our sermon reading, the Apostle Paul shows about how he had, shows us Moses, maybe the greatest prophet ever in the Old Testament, who had a direct encounter with God. Moses went up Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. Do you know how much time he spent up there? 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine being in the presence of God? Now, I've been some warm places in my life, and I've gotten a sunburn from being in the sun a little too long, just for a few minutes. But can you imagine being in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights? When Moses came down with that mountain, his face glowed, and he didn't want to scare people with God's glory. So Moses actually did something that was very simple, but very effective. He put a veil over his face. Now, years later, at the Transfiguration, look who is on that mountain. Not only Peter, James, and John, and Jesus, but Moses, Elijah, standing in the flesh. What kind of power would it take for them to be there? But when Jesus revealed himself to this way, the disciples hit the deck. That's because when a holy God makes an appearance, sinners don't have any other choice. That's because God hates sin. He doesn't tolerate it. All sinners can do is beg for mercy. Yes, it's true. God's glory on Moses' face was going to fade after a while. And for the Israelites, that was going to be a big bummer. It was going to be a bummer because as Moses' face got dimmer and dimmer, God's presence in their lives would seem less and less certain. Look at it this way. It's kind of like a Hollywood actress in her 60s has plastic surgery, so she looks more like she's in her 30s. Now, it's amazing what plastic surgery can do these days. But after a while, that same 60-year-old, maybe becomes 70-year-old Hollywood starlet, she's going to hide from the paparazzi after a while. Why? Because physical beauty, it always fades. And here's the connection. Maybe there are times when you and I feel super close to God, like today, like when it's a full church here at St. Paul's. Honestly, I don't think it gets much better than that. But maybe over time, it's easy for that glory to fade. Maybe you really felt close to God when you were first confirmed, or maybe when you first joined St. Paul's. But over time, the reality of life, the reality of this broken world, has made you feel less and less certain of being close to God. And God has faded in the background. Don't believe this lie of Satan for even a moment. If you ever feel far from God in this life, remember, God never moves. And that's a warning to you and me. Don't ever move away from him or the hearing of his word. And yet, even if God appeared in all his glory right now, would any of us need to fear? Absolutely not. Because through faith, we believe that God not only told us to listen to his son, he gave his son as the ultimate sacrifice to pay for every time I've wandered from God, every time I've been selfish, every time I've done something that I'm ashamed of. And Jesus did that for you when he died on the cross and shed his blood to completely pay for every single one of our sins on another mountain, a mountain called Calvary. But that's the whole point of the Transfiguration. As they witnessed his bloody crucifixion later, they needed strength to remember now who he was and to give them hope when all hope seemed lost. In our sermon text, now Paul is taking that to the next level as he's describing that old covenant. You know, the covenant that the Jews were holding on to, those rules and regulations, the sacrifices, the circumcision, everything written in the book of Leviticus, and how they thought that is what was going to get them closer to God. But what Paul is describing it as a veil. That was all temporary. And the more that people held on to those Old Testament rules and regulations and the requirements of the law, the more that they lost hope. St. Paul clearly tells us, and follow his logic here, that veil is gone. In other words, we don't have to follow those Old Testament rules, and those so are the requirements. How do I know that? Well, that's because Jesus has come. Jesus is the end of the law. And this coming week, we get to celebrate Ash Wednesday, the full extent of Jesus' love. We get to see in living color. Now, these are for my brothers in the sanctuary right now. It's also Valentine's Day. Heads up. What's Valentine's Day about? Isn't it about love? Isn't it interesting that the church year, Ash Wednesday, is this Valentine's Day? Jesus doesn't just say he loves us, he proves it. He doesn't just give us flowers or some candy, he gives us himself, he gives it all. And you and I are privileged to be able to hear that again. The optical illusion that I showed you before, it doesn't last. But we're also reminded about how the best is yet to come, even when it doesn't look like it. When those disciples came down the mountain, I'm sure they felt a little let down. They just got to be this close to God's glory, and now they were going to have to go back to a world that did not care about them, a world that was working against them. And after this service, we might have that same feeling. But when they suffered, something was interesting and something changed. They held on to Jesus. They held on to this vision of glory. They were reminded that Jesus is all-powerful and is always with them. So too, when we experience setbacks here in this life, maybe it's a cancer diagnosis, maybe it's the news of a wayward child or grandchild, maybe it's the reality of just growing older, you and I need to not focus at our present situation. We need to stare at Jesus. We need to know that Jesus is with us. Yes, it's especially at those moments. We need to stare at Jesus on his Mount of Transfiguration, on Mount Calvary. We need to remember that Jesus is either keeping harm away from us or making harm serve our good. And eventually, we need to look forward to our problems will all be taken away when we see Jesus as he is in the perfection of heaven. I don't think you'll see Jesus' face floating in front of you right now. But imagine if Jesus' face was imprinted in your eyes. We'd see Jesus everywhere. We'd see Jesus' face superimposed in the lonely, in the hopeless eyes of the lost, in the hurting eyes of the sick. Actually, that's exactly how Jesus wants you and me to view every single person through his eyes and become and have more compassion on them. People we like, people who may not like us. It's easy to become discouraged when the Christian life is not so glorious. And quite honestly, God's plan of salvation, it's not always on our minds. I mean, most people in the world are more concerned about improving their homes than they are about avoiding hell. Even though our world has spiritual tunnel vision, Jesus lifts our vision to catch a glimpse of his glory. And that's how we can do is what St. Paul says in the words of our sermon, to be bold. That's what happens when you stare at Jesus. You don't need to use gimmicks or tricks. We simply speak God's truth in love. And this is what we do in the final words of our reading. We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We talk about what Jesus has done for us. We simply speak the truth and have compassion on other people as God has had compassion on us. Look at the example of those first century Christians. They learned to share their faith because they saw Jesus everywhere. In the same way, when we hear God's word at church or at home, when we receive Holy Communion, when we remember our baptism, we learn to see people through our Savior's eyes. We see Jesus everywhere. And that, my Christian friends, is no illusion. That's a Christian vision that will last. Amen. For our stewardship thought today, I'd like you to think about your vocation, where the Lord has placed you. Are you a student? Are you a wife, a husband, a grandma or grandpa? Are you working? Are you retired? God has made you and me stewards of all of his blessings. What God wants is for us to use our purpose in life, is not just to get more and acquire more, but to give, to serve, to love. May we offer this prayer. Lord, help us walk your servant way, wherever love may lead, and bending low, forgetting self, each serve the other's need. Amen.